This is the Middle Chamber Books Podcast, episode 22 for Friday, October 30th, 2009. In this episode of the Middle Chamber Books Podcast, a conversation with Jewish singer-songwriter Eric Komar, and we'll listen to some of his music.
Horizon, our day comes to an end, but we know that tomorrow God will make it rise again. At night you shelter us, while sleep in bed we dream. Hamariz Arazim. You roll light away from darkness, and dark away from light. Cause the sun to shine by day and the pale moon glow at night. Stars traveling through the sky cast a heavenly gleam. Hamariv Arazim. The days and nights they come and go, and the weeks and months and years. But even though our time on earth is short, you are always here. Sun on this tiny fragile ball. We're so insignificant, but your love is supreme. Hamariv Arazim. Celestial bodies fly through space according to your grand design. But even though they may be eons old, your rule is for all time. Baruch Atah. בין הזמנים ומסדר את הכוכבים במשמרותיהם ברקיע כרצונו מורה יום ולילה גולל אור מפני חושך מחושך מפני אור ומעביר יום ומדי לילה ומבדיל בין יום ובין לילה אדוני צבא El Chai V'Chayam, El Chai V'Chayam, Tamid Yimloch Aleinu. El Chai V'Chayam, El Chai V'Chayam, Tamid Yimloch Aleinu.
That's Ma'ariv Aravim, Eric Komar's version of the familiar Jewish evening prayer, and it's from his Notes from the Underground CD. Listeners of all ages have enjoyed the Jewish folk, rock, and jazz of Eric Komar. He's a veteran singer, songwriter, and guitarist, and performs at synagogues, JCCs, and Hillels around the country. He's also appeared at Jewish Educator and Union for Reform Judaism biennial conventions, and that's actually where I met Eric in 2005 in Minneapolis. And it turns out we have something else in common, because his stepfather is an editor, retired editor from the Asbury Park Press, where I used to work. And so we became friends over that and continued the friendship after the biennial was over and finally got a chance to sit down and chat about Eric's music. Eric has two CDs of original, inspiring Jewish music. His 2003 debut, Notes from the Underground, contains the peace anthem Lo Yisagoi, which we'll hear, and Don't Give Up the Hope, a solo guitar rendition of the Israeli national anthem, which appears on the CD Ruach 5767 from Transcontinental Music. And we've used that in a video podcast that we produced for Temple Emmanuel in Cherry Hill with Eric's permission. Eric's second effort, To Life, or To Life, released in 2007, showcases the inspirational songwriting and skillful guitar playing his fans have come to expect, and its featured track, Justice, Justice, is also found on Transcon Music's Ruach 5769. Eric lives here in New Jersey with his wife Dahlia, their two kids, and two cats, and we caught up with him at the Borders Bookshop in Princeton, New Jersey. Eric, thanks for joining us on the Middle Chamber Books podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Eric, tell me a little bit about your music, for starters. You are very active in Jewish music and worship music for Jewish congregations. How did you get started? What made you go in that direction?
You want me to go way, way back?
You can go as far back as you like.
Well, I'll go back as far as the fifth grade. I was a Hebrew school terror, and probably like a lot of 10, 11-year-old boys, and I spent a lot of time in the principal's office because I would get into fist fights a lot with the other boys, and which included the last day of school. I missed the end of school pizza party because I got into a fight, and the principal wasn't too happy with me. The principal was actually the wife of the rabbi. So getting in trouble with her was pretty much getting in trouble with everybody. Well, fast forward to my bar mitzvah, and I was also one of those very disillusioned 13-year-olds that didn't want to stay in Judaism and temple life once seventh grade was over.
I don't think there are too many 13-year-olds that do.
Probably not.
Right.
So I got out of that and did not return to the synagogue until I was schlepped to a service that was being run at our temple by the youth group, which I was not part of. And in the youth group service, there was a song leader who was playing the acoustic guitar and leading the singing. And even though I didn't know the music, I had been learning guitar since I was 11 and said to myself, you know what? I can play those chords and I can sing those songs. And it actually looks like those kids are having fun. So I joined the youth group and ultimately became a youth group song leader. And by my junior year of high school, was elected as the, what was called back in the 80s, the chaplain of the youth group. I think nowadays the Reform youth groups, they call it the ritual and cultural vice president, basically the person in charge of everything spiritual, everything ritual, which includes service writing and the music playing.
Which is a complete turnaround from where you were.
Absolutely, just a few years prior.
Yeah.
Then when I was a... And I attended all of the youth group retreats and conclaves and the local conventions, not the national ones, but the ones around New Jersey, and made a lot of friends, some of which I wouldn't say I'm terribly close with, but they are some of them actually are Facebook friends.
Right. And, you know, some of the people who are well known to kids who grew up in at least the Reform youth movement and the Reform camps are people who are very well known to people who listen to Jewish music. The Debbie Friedman's, Julie Silver's, some of the others.
Yes, and I could get to that. Before I do that, I want to just add that when I was a senior in high school, I was called upon by my former principal the one whose
office. The one you got in trouble with.
The one whose office I got to know very well in the fifth grade. She was now the principal of another religious school on the Jersey Shore. And she called me out of the blue and said that her religious school needs a Sunday morning music teacher. Would I be interested in being hired to teach kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade Jewish music? Well, I didn't know any such music. I only knew the teenage music. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know that such music existed. So I reluctantly agreed. She was so happy. She said, I remember this, not only because it was a good line, but because my mother reminds me all the time. She said to me, Eric, you used to be my problem. Now you're my solution.
Yeah.
So that's how I started out as a religious school music teacher. And 20-some-odd years later, I am now the music teacher and music director at Temple Beth El in Hillsboro, New Jersey, for pre-kindergarten all the way up through our high school confirmation class.
You have a lot of interaction with the teenagers?
A lot of interaction with the teenagers. They are a lot of fun, and the teenagers at our particular synagogue, the one that I work at, they're very involved in New Jersey and national Jewish youth activity. And one thing really nice, having worked at this particular temple for, I've been involved with them over a dozen years now. I am now seeing kids who I have known since kindergarten enter their first year of college, which makes me, on the one hand, feel extremely old.
Well, wait until you start playing music at their weddings.
Right, that's the next step.
Next step.
But on the other hand, very, very proud. Currently I'm doing a bar mitzvah tutoring, and one of my students is a 12-year-old girl who is the one whose baby naming was my first.
Wow. There you go.
So every time she does not practice, I say to her, you know, I was on the Bima for your baby naming, and I will be, there's no way that I will let you not go through with this bat mitzvah as well as I know you can.
What kinds of things did you do to prepare to make this your career? Did you take any formal training, or did you just...
I did not. The only formal training I had was in guitar, and that was... really only from when I had started guitar in the fifth grade until about the eighth grade, and then I stopped taking formal lessons, and I focused more in my high school years on singing and on theater, and did mostly that until I got into college. When I got into college, really the only guitar I had been playing was as a religious school music teacher. But as I went through college, and I did singing there, but I got interested in kind of rediscovering the guitar, and signed up for music courses, jazz in particular I got into in college, and I took some jazz theory and jazz improvisation courses where I got to get my guitar skills back up to where I could have if I had kept going with it through high school.
When did you actually start writing your own music?
I had been, in all actuality, I've been writing music, or at least creating music in my head, probably since I was a small boy. Maybe going all the way down into the single digits, I would come up with songs and would perform them. And as soon as I learned how to write musical notation, I would write my music down. I would during recess in school, I would literally sit under a tree with staff paper, and I would write down musical ideas.
And you now have two CDs out.
I currently have two CDs out. Notes from the Underground came out in 2003.
That's the one that we connected over, because I met you at the Biennial in Minneapolis when you were playing in the sort of cafe there.
That's right. There was a cafe with a music stage, and yes, that was
2005. Yeah.
It was 2005. So yes, Notes from the Underground had been out for about a year and a half, and in 2007 I came out with Two Life, spelled T-W-O, and it was in dedication to my son Noah, who was born in March 2006. So in Two Life, the title track is a lullaby to Noah, and he's actually on the front cover with me at probably about 6 months old, and now he's already 3 and a half.
What pick a favorite song from each album? Talk about what influenced you to write it. And
sure. Well, every song definitely has a story. I could tell you a few quick stories from a couple of songs if there's time.
Go right ahead. There's plenty of time.
Probably the most egregious example is Lo Yisagoi, which the Hebrew words comes from the book of Isaiah. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, nor ever again shall they train for war. And Lo Yisagoi was actually co-written by myself and by Jordan Franzel, who I had gone to Rutgers with, and Jordan is now a cantor in the Philadelphia area. And he, at the time of 9/11, I was living in Manhattan, and he was the cantor at the Central Synagogue in Manhattan. So shortly after 9/11 happened, he and I got together, and we both wrote Lo Yisagoi, which became kind of a peace anthem. And that song was enjoyed around the reform movement and other movements as well, at least I hope. I know in the reform movement because Transcontinental Music Publications, the reform movement's house music publishing company, they published that piece in one of their Shabbat anthology series.
Which always helps.
It, definitely, absolutely. So it's nice once in a while to get emails from people saying, oh, I learned your song from this book, or my choir uses this song at temple, and we really enjoy it, so thank you for writing it. So that means a lot. The heavens and earth were conceived in perfection. A vessel of light that shined with kindness and love. It shattered and spread out in every direction. What now is below once was united above. Cain killed Abel in a jealous rage. Now every nation has a war to wage. We watch the bloodshed helplessly with no words to say. Why can't we live without hate today? Lo Yisagoi El Goy Chered. Lo Yilmidu Od Milchama. Lo Yisagoi El Goy Chered. Lo Yilmidu Od Milchama. For a new age without fear, we would all live from year to year, neighbor and neighbor in the world yet to come. With guns and streets and bombs in stores, ethnic cleansing and holy wars, what lessons have our children learned from a world this way? They shall lead us to peace, we pray. Lo Yisagoi El Goy Chered. Lo Yilmidu Od Milchama. Lo Yisagoi El Goy Chered. Lo Yilmidu Od Milchama. there's another song that comes to mind. Well, the reason I named that the first CD Notes from the Underground isn't because I necessarily had an affinity to Russian literature, although just coincidentally I was a Russian language major in college.
Do you still keep up your fluency?
I have two guitar students, a husband and wife, who are Russian, so I get to practice my Russian still with them. But called the album Notes from the Underground because I had been living in Manhattan at the time and spent a lot of time on the subway, the Underground. And actually in 2003 I had already moved from Manhattan to Brooklyn, but was still working in Manhattan. So I was on the subway a lot, going back and forth over the East River, and on one of the trains that goes over the East River, over the Manhattan Bridge, even though there was a lot of talking and hubbub going on a subway car, as soon as we got onto that bridge overlooking the river and seeing lower Manhattan with the Twin Towers gone, it left everybody on the train silent. It was almost like an understood ritual. When you go over that river, everyone is just quiet.
I worked in Lower Manhattan for many years, and I still find it eerie when I take the PATH train to what is still mm-hmm. called the World Trade Center station, and you come in through that opening from New Jersey into this vacant space that's still under construction, and it's still a jarring experience.
It really, really is. And while there was one particular time, when that happened for the first time, when everyone was just really quiet, it moved something in me, and it was the spring of 2003. I wasn't even in the studio yet working on the CD. I didn't do that until the summer, but it was the springtime, and Purim was just happening. And I was doing I had been teaching the traditional Utsu Eitza song with my religious school students on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Those words mean that they may plan their plans and scheme their schemes, but they will not, their plans will fail because God is with us. And I was inspired on that subway ride to write an Utsu Eitza for the CD that was pretty much, I guess, a Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire style, historic recounting of all the sorest that the Jewish people have gotten over the centuries, going all the way back to Moses and the Israelites who were slaves in Egypt, all the way to the modern time, what was going on with Islamic terrorism in Israel and the Middle East.
Of it too far. Dabru davar velo yakum, Dabru davar velo yakum. Attempt to realize their maniacal dreams. But no matter what they try, they will surely fail. 'Cause God's with us and we'll always be left to tell the tale. To be the chosen people means to have a cross to bear, to leave our treasured homeland and to scatter everywhere. Or where our children had to hide, we still believed with perfect faith God always was on our side. The pogroms under the Tsar, they couldn't stop us from remaining who we are. The darkness took away 6 million precious lives, but then our homeland was reborn and still survived. Faced all kinds of threats and stood up to them all. With the refuseniks, watch the Iron Curtain fall. Today, new terror keeps appearing at our door. But I believe God's with us, and one day they too shall be no more. Dabru davar velo yakum, Dabru davar velo yakum.
Favorite picks from To Life?
Sure. I try to put one song on each CD that's not Jewishly themed. So there's a secular song on the first CD and there's a secular song on the second CD, and that song is called No One Better, and it's a song that I wrote for my wife just a few weeks after we had started dating. Sometimes you just know, and when you know, the creative juices come out immediately. So that song is on there, and also
it also makes a pretty persuasive gift.
Absolutely.
I just wrote this song for you.
Absolutely. Let me tell you, there's nothing I could come up with a 3-disc set over with all the songs I've written for all the girls. werewolves.
Be careful now. Don't ruin it.
Well, I do have to say, though, the one for my wife was the last one.
Okay.
So I hopefully saved myself with that.
I was thinking of you this morning and all last night about how we got together. How it feels so right. It was so unexpected, though I have to say I'm not complaining. And it would be fabulous if you stayed part of my life. 'Cause baby, there is no one who is better. Baby, there is no one quite like you. No one puts a smile upon my face better than you. Baby, there is no one who is better. Baby, there is no one quite like you. No one makes me happy to be alive. But all I need to do is hear your voice and I feel okay. And when I'm dissatisfied with all the troubles life may deal me, you give me your hand and then my world's alright again. My dreams, just hold me tight and don't let go. Perfection is closer, yes, it's closer than it seems. And when we're apart, I yearn for the next time we can be together. 'Cause then I can show you just how much you mean to me. 'Cause baby, there is
Rick Komar from his CD To Life with No One Better.
Probably the first song on the CD, Justice, Justice, is an important song and one of my favorites. And that song was recently released as part of the most recent CD in the Ruach series by the Reform Movement. It's on Ruach 5769.
And it's a series of CDs that get released compiling songs by Jewish musicians.
Yes, the Ruach series is a great compilation for anybody interested in getting to know modern Jewish rock, usually mostly rock, and it's a great resource for teenagers and young people who want to get to know Jewish rock and all of the big names of contemporary Jewish music are on there. Rick Recht, Dan Nichols, Josh Nelson, Beth Schaefer, Debbie Friedman. So it's a real honor to be a part of this CD.
Many hungry families sleeping on the street. Dear Dov, Tzedek, Tzedek. Too many addicts trying to get back on their feet. Dear Dov, Tzedek, Tzedek. Too many tyrants wreaking havoc on their lands. Dear Dov, Tzedek, Tzedek. Too many helpless victims of destructive plans. Dear Dov, Tzedek, Tzedek. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Justice, justice, shall you follow. Too many jobs denied because of creed or race. Too many laws defied, the wrong side wins the case. Snuffed out. Too many old and sick, nobody cares about. Too many selfish interests trump the common good. Too many messages not being understood. Oh, Tzedek, Tzedek. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Justice, 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 shall we follow, shall we follow.
Walk humbly with your God.
There has been sort of a debate going on back and forth in the Jewish music world for a couple of years about the music, the contemporary music, where the tradition that you're in, versus the very traditional cantorial music of classical Reform Judaism, the Richard Tuckers and the more operatic voices, if you will. And in recent years, there's been a greater recognition, at least in the Reform movement, of the importance of the contemporary Jewish music experience. How do you see that playing out? Do you think it's going to have more of an impact? Or,
you know, here is what I had actually learned doing some of my own personal edification in the history of Jewish music. A lot of the quote-unquote traditional Jewish music, not so much the operatic part, but kind of the Ein Keloheinu, kind of, you know, you're sitting in a wooden pew 7.5 miles from the rabbi's podium. Sure. A lot of that was the contemporary music of the time. It was very singable. It was the style that was being written. We're talking about 19th century Germany, and then late 19th century, early 20th century American music that was brought over by immigrant German Jews and Jews from other places in Europe. And I think really... And I know that I'm kind of not including kind of the operatic, more performance-style music that you might be talking about, but in terms of a lot of the kind of churchy-sounding music that we sometimes hear, you know, Adon Olam Asher Malach, all that was just the contemporary music of the time. So I think that what we see is with the contemporary Jewish rock and the folky rock that we see today, it's just a modern day manifestation of that, and
fits right into the continuum.
It fits right into the continuum, and if it attracts congregants and it keeps the youth and other people connected to their Judaism, as it did myself a long time ago, I am all for that.
Now you do. You do concert appearances. Do you go on tour a lot, or is it less so now that you're settled down with kids and a family, or what?
I find that as a Jewish music professional, you really have to have your hand in a lot of things. My career, which I call just simply Komar Music, it's also the name of my website, komarmusic.com. Basically what it is, it's a smorgasbord of involvement in Judaism and music and a combination of Jewish music. So I do music teaching, and that takes up most of my weekdays and Sunday mornings. I do music typesetting and transcription, both freelance and for various music publishing companies. I do performing of worship music currently in the New York tri-state area. I'm once a month at a College Hillel in Pennsylvania at Dickinson College in Carlisle. I'm on Long Island a lot, doing music for a very fun, small, unaffiliated congregation in Syosset called Simchat Halev, and also at my pretty much home base, Temple Beth El in Hillsboro, where I do. I'll be doing two services a month. A junior congregation service and then a family-style service where I also conduct the junior choir, and they're a lot of fun. So in terms of performing and concerts, I have not aggressively sought those opportunities currently, given the time, I definitely would, because I've done it before. I've been flown out here and there around the country to do an artist-in-residence weekend. While I have friends who do that constantly, people in the field who have been extremely helpful, people like Rick Recht, who travel to a different city every week.
Sure, Rick seems. has actually been in Cherry Hill several times.
Yep. And also Sam Glazer, who I got to, he's from L.A., big name in Jewish music, cross-denominational Jewish musician. And he and I met at Cage, and he's been a very helpful mentor. He travels all over the country as well. Sometimes I wish that I had that type of schedule. I think it would be extremely exciting to meet Jews from all over the country every weekend. I think my wife would kill me, though, and I think I would probably just die from exhaustion because...
It's a pretty punishing schedule.
It really is a lot of work, and so I have to say that while I sometimes fantasize about that type of concert performing schedule, I'm very happy with the more localized schedule that I have now. So pretty much every Friday evening and Saturday morning, I am at some synagogue in New Jersey, New York, or Pennsylvania.
And any more CDs in the oven, so to speak?
I have a CD that is it's cooking very slowly. The ingredient that is needed the most is money.
Always.
And while I almost have enough repertoire to fill a third CD, I am currently just trying to save the shekels because even in these days with modern technology becoming more accessible and more inexpensive, it's still a large undertaking financially.
Well, if I had thought about it, I could have said, bring your guitar to Borders here today.
I could have brought my guitar, left the case open,
had
people throw in their quarters. I would need a lot of quarters.
I understand.
Eric, soon.
Thanks very much for being with us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Okay. Our thanks to Eric Komar for spending some time with us on the Middle Chamber Books podcast today. And if you have comments or suggestions about our program, you can email steve@professionalpodcasts.com. If you want to send us an audio comment, we'd love to include it in a future podcast so that we can have a conversation with our audience. And we appreciate you being with us. To take us out of this episode of the Middle Chamber Books podcast, another song from Eric's Notes from the Underground collection. It's his setting of the Jewish prayer Shehecheyanu, which is a prayer that's said at the time of some special event to thank God for allowing us to reach this particular day. And we dedicate this one in honor of Ted Martin and his lovely bride, Kate Brown Martin, whose wedding we attended last Sunday. And Jessica Bonder and Michael Bryman will be tying the knot on this Sunday, November 1st. We produce these programs in the studios of Professional Podcasts in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, on the web at professionalpodcasts.com. This is Steve Lubetkin. Thanks for being with us on the podcast, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.
We are here today to pray and celebrate an occasion that's filled with joy and wonder so great. It's a blessing to have this experience to share, 'cause we must treasure these good times which are so rare. And we bless you, God, for sustaining us so that we could reach this day. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, shehecheyanu vekimanu vehegianu lazman hazeh. It's our wedding day, united for all time. Stand beneath the chuppah, share the sweetness of wine. It's a miracle to see two hearts become like one, setting on the wondrous journey that's begun. And we bless you, God, for sustaining us so that we could reach this day. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melech HaOlam, Shehecheyanu Vekimanu Vehegianu Lazman Hazeh. Hard to believe this time has passed.
most precious part is being here with you.
Na 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 na